If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. If you can remember John 3:16, just remember 1 Timothy 3:16. Very, very important verse. 1 Timothy 3:16. And this is where we're going to begin from. I know different translations sound a little differently, but if you're using the New Living Translation or the King James, New King James, probably NIV, you're basically they're saying the same thing. It's just a little bit, it's worded a little differently, same meaning. Sometimes, you know, when you're looking at different versions, it's like tomato, tomato, you know. So don't get too alarmed about if there's a little bit of a difference in your translation. There are some paraphrase Bibles that I wouldn't recommend. But you want to go with translations. I think that the New King James, certainly the King James, NIV, and the NLT are good translations. And without controversy, verse 16, great is the mystery of godliness. God, and I looked up that word God, and it's the word theos. It means deity or the supreme divinity. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. The supreme divinity, God, Theos, was manifested in the flesh. That means God came in a body. Amen? Justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, which would be non-Jews, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. See, this is the truth, and this is what Christmas is about. This is when we talk about the birth of Christ, we're talking about a miracle child. We're talking about a miracle that the Holy Spirit overshadows a virgin, and she conceives in her womb a son, Emmanuel, right? God with us. Theos, the divine, amen? God came. God himself came in the form of his son. The son of God became, the word of God became the son of God. It tells us in John 1, right? In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. So the word of God became the son of God. And God placed that child in the womb of a woman who had never been with a man. Therefore, the blood of that child would not be tainted by the blood of sinful Adam. Very important. This is one of the main principles that is attacked by Satan. Because if he can somehow assign sin to Jesus, then he could not be the sacrifice for our sins. Because sin could not pay for sin. It took a sinless or a perfect sacrifice offering to pay for the sinful. God placed upon Jesus the sins of us all. He was the Lamb of God. He was without sin. He was born miraculously of a virgin. The Bible said, and the angel said to Mary, the Holy Spirit shall overshadow you, and that which is conceived in you shall be of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Born of God. The miracle of Christmas is the incarnation, that God becomes a man. He becomes like you and I, like in the likeness of sinful Adam, to be our Redeemer, to pay the price for our sins. And so, we need to understand that because of what Jesus has done for us, because of this indescribable gift that God gave us, that he was willing to give his only begotten Son on our behalf, we have the heavens open to us today. We have access to our Father's throne. We are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We are no longer slaves of sin, but sons and daughters. Amen? Purchased with the precious blood of Jesus, sons and daughters of the Most High God. And so God is trying to deliver us from the slave mentality to believe that I'm just a sinner. Or like the song in the world back in the 80s, I'm only human. An excuse to indulge the flesh. But as a believer, we're superhuman. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're superhuman. Because the supernatural God is in you. We are no longer slaves to sin. How many know that's true? But in Christ, you're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. In Christ, you're a son and a daughter. You no longer have to live according to the dictates of the old nature that has been done away with by the body of Christ. There's been a circumcision, a separation in the heart. So now we can live unto God and walk in liberty and in freedom, free from the bondage of sin. I am not a slave to sin anymore. If you're in Christ, if you're really in Christ, the question is, are you really in Christ? If you are, then you are a new creation. Old has gone, the new has come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I mean, know that Christmas is not just a cute story of a little baby, a helpless little baby in a manger. It's about God becoming a man and coming to this dark, sin-sick world to deliver us out of this slavery, out of the bondage of this broken system and broken state that we are born into, to bring us into sonship, bring us into this new life in Christ. And when Zechariah was prophesying over John the Baptist as a baby and during his weaning or circumcision, it was, he was also prophesying concerning Jesus in the same statement. And in Luke chapter 1 and verse 78, he said, the day spring, which means dawn, the day spring from on high has visited us. Who is he talking about? Jesus. In other words, the dawn has broken. After hundreds of years of darkness, hundreds of years, 400 years, where there was silence, there was no revelation, no word from God, and the silence was broken. And the day spring, the dawn, has broke. Amen? Jesus, the light of the world, came and visited us. God came to this earth in the form of Jesus. Amen? Amen. To give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. To guide our feet into the way of peace. Now, let's face it. We're all looking for peace. We're looking for love. We're looking for joy. Is anybody here not looking for peace and joy and love? Okay, we're in good company. The problem is that what? That we look for these things in the wrong place. I was looking for these things in the wrong place when all along it was right there in front of me. And Jesus was saying, if you'll turn to me, you'll find rest. If you turn to me, you'll have peace and love and joy. And so we're looking for love in all the wrong places. We're trying this and we're trying that. And you know, folks, it's as people of God that have come into covenant with Jesus, you know, there's no reason why we can't have peace. There's no reason why we can't have joy and have the love of God. Why is that? Because we have Him who is our peace. We have Him who is our joy. He is love. And Christ in you is the hope of glory. Jesus came as a babe in the likeness of sinful Adam to redeem you and I who are under the curse, to break that off of us, to set us free, bring us into liberty as sons and daughters of the Most High God. And Jesus paid the price, hallelujah, for our sin, arose, amen, on the third day, ascended to the right hand of the Father, and sent the Holy Spirit to you and to me. He sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. I'm a son. I can cry out to my Father now. It doesn't matter what your earthly father was like, or if you even had an earthly father. You have a Father in heaven who loves you. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to know His love. He wants you to know joy. He wants you to know peace. And you're not going to find it unless you will seek Him who is that. Christmas is more, amen, than just, we know that, presents. It's a big part of it. But how many know that God does not expect His people to reserve a couple weeks at the end of every year to be jolly? Come on. Right? To be good to your neighbor. To be loving. To be giving. I mean, I know we are called to a life of love. Amen. Yeah. It's a way of life for us. It's not an event. It's a way that we walk in. And so we choose December 25th to celebrate the birth of our Savior. But folks, every day we should be celebrating, amen, the fact that our God came and He died for us and He lives for us. God needs a people who are going to represent Him in the earth. He's looking not for crowds, but He's looking for a man. Are you that man? He's looking for a woman. Are you that woman? That individual? Who will walk with Him, who will submit themselves to His authority and listen to His voice, who will be a vessel that He can pour into and pour out of. He wants each one of us to respond to His invitation. Not only to be saved, but to make Him Lord. Because I really question, folks, whether you can separate the two. Are you with me today? If He's Savior, then He's got to be Lord too. If you call Him Lord, then He must be your Savior. See, some people get the mentality, I'll just get some soul insurance, or I'll say this little prayer and I'll get saved. And then I'll live the rest of my life for myself. You totally missed it. This is a glorious life. This is a wonderful life. This is an awesome life. To walk in the Spirit is to have life and peace. To walk in the Spirit is to know joy and peace and love and righteousness. To walk with the Lord is the greatest blessing of all. It's what it means to truly be happy, is happiness is the Lord. It's not an event, folks. It's a way that we walk. God is looking for people who will be that example, amen, of loving and serving and giving and the good things that we celebrate at this time of year. But folks, we need to be practicing this every day. Amen. This is a way of life. Because we've been bought with the blood of Jesus, if you're in Christ today, then you're now free to serve the Lord. He set you free so you can run the race, you can serve Him. Free of fear, shame, guilt, condemnation. Free, right, of that junk to serve the Lord and to serve Him with gladness. To serve Him with a clear conscience that had been sprinkled by the blood of Jesus. If you blow it, never run away from God. Run to Him. Your Father's got His arms open to you. You see, sometimes the devil tells you, you better stay away because you really blew it. God's mad at you. God hates you now because of what you did. You know what? The Father's so in love with you, He just said, come home. Let me put some of that red stuff on your boo-boo. God wants to heal. God wants to restore. God wants to reaffirm you. God wants to put you back in your rightful place as citizens of heaven, representing Him on the earth. He's trying to reveal to us who we are and what our purpose is and why we were created. You were made for such a time as this. You were created for this time, this season in the world. And we are living in the last days. We could have been born any time in history, but God decided that you and I would be born during this time, the very last days. Why? Because He's looking for ambassadors. He's looking for vessels. He's looking for those who will serve Him. He's looking for those who will say, Jesus, I give You my life. I give You my heart. I'm for You, God. The eyes of the Lord wander to and fro throughout the earth, looking for those whose hearts are loyal to Him. He's looking for a man. He's looking for a woman. He's not looking for a crowd, folks. He's looking for individuals who will say yes. And hopefully those individuals will make up the crowd call. The body of Christ, when we come together. You see, I can't live off your experience. I can't survive off your salvation. Amen? I need to know how to walk with God myself. Amen. I can't depend on everybody else to take care of me. Amen? It's time for us to grow up and learn how to walk. How many are going to be that vessel this coming year? How many are going to start out this year with us? You're going to join together and say, you know what? There's nothing more important than the will of God. Because the days, the hours, amen, they're quickly passing. Like this. You're looking back and say, man, I can't believe, where did the last year just go? And God is saying, it's time for you to get up, shake yourself off. Amen. Get the dust off yourself. Forget about what happened yesterday. Shake off the offenses and the things of yesterday. Give it to God. Rise up and run the race. Go all the way. How many have discovered that this life works when you go all the way? When you're all in, you're going to be filled. Because He knows, if you're holding back, if you're reserving, He can't have what you don't give Him. Well, God, you can have this, but you can't have that. How many discovered the best thing to do is give it all to God? Because whatever's in His hands, He can bless. You really want to have a blessed life? Give it all to God. Give Him your days, your future, your possessions. Give Him yourself fully. Everything belongs to Him anyways. But He wants you to trust Him with it, to give it back. Because what He has, He can bless and multiply. He wants to bless and multiply your life. He wants to make you such a blessing that people are going to want to be around you. People are going to want to hear what you have to say. People are going to want what you have because they see the reality of Christ in you. Because you're full of Jesus, they will see Jesus. Amen? We said that before, but you know, sometimes we see people, the visitors, they come in and say, you know, you look awful familiar. I've seen you somewhere before. It must be Jesus. It's a family resemblance. I mean, these guys came in, you know, it's like we'd known them all of our lives. Why? Because they're full of Jesus. They're family. Yeah. Isn't that good? That's the way it's supposed to be. People are supposed to be able to see the fruit of our lives. They're supposed to see our good works. They're supposed to see that there's something real here. They're not walking around with a plastic smile. That's a real smile. That's a Jesus smile. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Let's behold Him. As we behold Him, we'll be filled with His glory, with His presence. You'll become like the one you behold. Ah. I would say it again. You'll become like the one you behold. You got your mind in the right place, your heart right, your thoughts, your words, you align them with the Word of God, with the truth, speak love, build and not break down, amen? Bless and not curse. You know, something that's cool about the way God worked this whole thing with the coming of Jesus is in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. He appears to the shepherds, okay? Now, the shepherds are like the average Joe, the blue-collar people. You know, they're just kind of out doing their thing. They smell like sheep, whatever, you know. But you know what? God loves everybody. He's not a respecter of persons. And God made a point, are you hearing me, to raise up and use shepherds as heralds of the good news. So let's take a look at that in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Luke chapter 2 verse 9. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Aren't you glad that God didn't leave the shepherds out of the picture? Aren't you glad that God took a look at you and I and said, "You know what? I love you. You may not feel very lovely. You may not feel like you're worth much, but you know what? You're worth a whole lot to God. God loves you a whole lot. God loved us a whole lot when we were in our sin. When we were still sinners, God came." Amen. Jesus died. God thought that much about you. Don't say, "I'm unworthy." God said you were worth it. God thought you were worth it. Are you with me? For God so loved the world. God so loved you and me. And so what happened in verse 16? They did what? They sat around and drank coffee. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph. How many know we need steps of obedience, right, with the word? And the babe lying in a manger. And verse 17, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. What were they doing? They were heralding. They were being a witness to what they had seen. What they had testifying to what they had heard and seen. And so they began to testify. In verse 18, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And in verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart, which the shepherds had related to her. So Mary was contemplating all these events. Now, you got to understand that Mary had a lot of voices speaking to her. A lot of people were speaking into her life. But you know, the reason why I believe God chose Mary was not only because she was virtuous, that she was pure, that she had never been with a man, but because of the character of Mary. Because Mary did not have loose lips. Because Mary was not a gossip. Because Mary was not one that just ran at the next revelation, the next thing that she heard. She just didn't go out and do stuff, are you with me, impulsively or presumptuously. But it says that Mary pondered them in her heart. And Gill said this in the commentary. He said, she compared them in her mind with what had been said to her by the angel and also by Joseph, and what was said by Elizabeth and at the time she visited her. Remember, Elizabeth was John the Baptist's mother and her cousin. But she said nothing of them to others, lest she should be thought an enthusiast or a vain boaster. Has anybody ever done any vain boasting before? Has anybody ever been a little quick on the run with something that you heard before, pondering it, considering it, waiting for confirmation from God whether this is something I should even repeat? Of course, we all have. But hopefully we can learn from those mistakes, right? Now, Clark said it this way. Every circumstance relative to her son's birth, Mary treasured up in her memory, and every new circumstance she weighed or compared with those which had already taken place in order to acquire the fullest information concerning the nature and mission of her son. In other words, she was open to what God was saying, and sometimes God was going to speak to her through other people so that she knew exactly what God expected of her. She was very cautious to walk carefully with the Lord. Is anybody here learning how to be cautious now? You know, the Lord spoke to me years ago and he says, be very careful how you walk among my people, how you walk among my sheep. And you know, that's a word for every one of us in this place. Be very careful how you walk among his people. God forbid that we should be a stumbling block for anybody, amen, or cause a brother or sister to stumble. So she wasn't going to receive everything she heard immediately without careful examination. You know, people will have words for us, don't they? They come up and says, you know, God's got a word for you. How about prayerfully considering what they say, but take some time to get some confirmation and make sure that's what God is saying. There's some people that think that every time they get a thought, it's God speaking. And they go around telling people God said. You need to know if God spoke to that person to speak to you, he would have already spoken to your heart. You see, a true prophetic word is just basically the word that God has put in you is there. It's like an ember. But when the true prophetic word comes, it'll simply just bring greater light and revelation and attention to what was already there. But we even have to be careful with that because sometimes there are people who are able to read you enough. They know what you want. Paul told Timothy, be careful because men will chase after teachers having itching ears, turning away from the truth to fables. In other words, they're going to want to hear what they want to hear. And sometimes they're looking for prophets to confirm what they want to hear. Not what God has to say necessarily. Are you hearing me today? But what we really want somebody to tell. Tell me sweet things. Tell me flattering things. Make me feel good. Sometimes when God is speaking, it doesn't feel good initially. Sometimes you have to feel bad before you can feel good. Sometimes there has to be some weeping and some repentance, amen, before there can be true joy. And so Mary pondered in her heart these things that were told her. And then in verse 20 it says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. So, you know, today we celebrate the birth of Jesus, our Savior, and we study the life of Jesus. Are you with me? How many think it's a good idea to study the life of Jesus? Okay. What else should we do? You know, sometimes that's the extent of some people's Christianity, is they're constantly studying about, learning about, acquiring more knowledge of. Are you following where I'm going? We got to go beyond learning about to experiencing God. Knowing God and making Him known to others. Being the herald, being His mouthpiece. Being a witness. And the only way that you and I are going to be a witness, a true witness, is that we're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? He'll give you supernatural boldness, the ability to open your mouth and speak boldly. Whereas you may have a timid spirit, but when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you shall receive dunamis, dynamic working power, Acts 1:8. To be my witnesses, amen? To bear witness to the fact that Jesus is alive. To the fact that Jesus is risen indeed. That He sent the Holy Spirit. And just like the shepherds, we should be glorifying and praising God for all He's done. Hallelujah. You know, we've been talking about the power of our testimony and how we need to continually keep that in front of our face. We need to be in remembrance of what God has done for us. And as we continue to share our testimony with others, amen, there'll be people that you'll be able to share with. Amen. Find somebody to share your story with. And again, when you are bringing that which God did in the past into the now through the word of your testimony. It releases the spirit of prophecy, and it can produce the same results in others that hear it that happened in you. Amen? The same grace that you receive, and as you speak, that same grace is released into the hearts of others. Amen. The hope that you received, as you speak of that hope, it produces hope in others. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. When you speak of what God did then, it brings into the now the same grace. Hallelujah. Oh. So never be ashamed, never be afraid even to testify. If you feel yourself being intimidated, you feel yourself feeling insecure and unable to do this thing, well, first of all, that's a good place to be. Why? Because then you realize it's not going to be of you. So if you say, man, God, I can't do this. He says, you're right, you can't. Because what I'm calling you to do is bigger than you. So you're going to need somebody bigger than you to do it. But he's going to use you as a vessel, amen, as a clay jar. Amen. And the power of God is not of us. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So here it is. We're in position to say, okay, God, I'm weak. I fail. I stumble. I stutter like Moses. But God says, who made man's mouth? Who's going to give you the ability? I am. I wouldn't tell you to do something I'm not going to back up. I wouldn't ask you to do something for me that I'm not going to give you the grace to perform. He says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the power of God. Be a worshiper. Go all in. Open your heart. Seek the Lord. Be filled with the power of God, and you'll find that the insecurities and the phobias and all the mess will just be squeezed right out. And you'll become bold. Oh, perfect love casts out all fear. The only way I can do what I do is by the grace of God. I realize that. It's not of me. But God wants to impart into you the same grace. He wants to stimulate your heart. He wants to stir up the gift within you, to begin you stirring up that gift within you. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And God will overshadow your insecurities. In your weakness, His strength is made perfect. In your inability is His ability. You can do all things through Christ. According to the will of God, you can do it. If He says do it, you can do it. And you'll discover you can do it when you say, okay, God, this is bigger than me. I don't understand how it's going to happen, but I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to do what you say to do. And you find out that when you step out and you take the step, okay, God says, go talk to that person. Oh, God, I don't want to talk to that person. But God says, go do it and I'll be with you. Open your mouth and I'll fill it. Open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. Amen? Do what I say. As you begin to step in obedience to me, then the Spirit of God will come on you. Amen? He will give you the ability to do what you couldn't do. And God's not looking for, as Catherine Kuhlman said, golden vessels. He's looking for yielded vessels. He's just looking people who are available and say, God, here am I. Amen? Not many wise, not many noble. Even the foolish things, God says, I'll use the foolish things to confound the wise. Isn't that awesome? We're the shepherds, most of us here. God shows up. He says, I want you guys to be a part of this. And I'm going to use you as my heralds. You're going to go tell it on the mountain. You're going to speak it. Hallelujah. And you know what, folks? They didn't have to go to speech class. They didn't have to take a class in public speaking. When the glory of God came and shone about them, how many know they got filled with the Holy Spirit? And they were like, come on, let's go. Woo! They had to tether them, I'm sure. Woo! But they were motivated by the grace of God to go and speak of that which they had seen and heard. Are you with me? God wants you for heaven's citizenship. God wants you to be an ambassador. Amen? Amen. God wants you to be His herald, to speak. God wants you to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to cleanse the lepers, and to raise the dead. God wants you. Will you go after God? Will you put yourself into position? Turn away from sin to Christ. Give yourself fully to Him and allow God to use you as a vessel to fill you with His power, with His Holy Spirit. Not a perfect vessel, but a vessel that is yielded and willing to come under His authority. How many are saying yes to that? How many are willing to go all the way with Jesus? Amen. If you're here today and you say, well, I'm looking at my insecurities, or I'm looking at my failures, how many know the devil just wants to dangle that in front of your face too? He just wants to say, look how bad you are. You think God's going to use you. You think God loves you. If you've got a heart to serve God, that's precious in His sight. And if you really love Jesus, then you don't do the things that grieve Him, right? If Jesus says this is not right for you, okay, Jesus, you decide. You're Lord. So don't let your own insecurities stop you. Don't let your own inabilities to stop you. And don't even allow the mistakes of yesterday stop you from doing what God has called you to do, who will also enable you to do it. Because He wants to rub your past in your face, so He'll keep you living out of the past so you'll be robbed of your future. It's time for us to shake off the dust. It's time for us to rise up, amen, again, and to get back in the race. Say, forget what's behind. Forget what happened yesterday. Forget about the past. Don't dwell in yesterday. He's the God of yesterday, today, and forever. Enter into the new day. Step beyond the cross into the resurrection life of Jesus. Once you confess your sins, it's done. It's taken care of. Agree with God and say, thank you, Jesus, I'm forgiven. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm forgiven. But then Jesus said, go and sin no more, right? If you love me, you obey me. Hallelujah. You see, when we gather together, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us. There's a corporate anointing. There's a corporate blessing. How many feel clean when you've had a good time in church? Amen? Of worship. It's blessing, isn't it? Because God approves this. This is what He says to do. So you can receive strength and encouragement from one another. Now, the title of this message, believe it or not, was Now is the Time. Now is the time. Today is the day of what? Salvation. God is pouring out His Spirit. Dive in deep. Be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and share the good news. Now is the time. Not tomorrow, now is the time of salvation, healing, deliverance, restoration, because the kingdom of God is here among you now. Jesus said to His disciples, as you go, say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's among you. And then God says, after you declare that, you prophesy that I will release my anointing and confirm the word with signs following. Oh, hallelujah. Christmas is a time we reflect on the birth of our Savior. But folks, we've got to get beyond just the season. But how many know, folks, it's a way, right? It's not an event. It's a way. We walk in the way with the Lord every day. And I am believing and expecting for miracles this year. I am believing and expecting for the power of God to fall in a fresh and in a tangible way that's going to just transform hearts and lives. And I'm believing that God's going to move mightily in Mason County, in particular in Shelton. as we are going to contend for this city. We're going to pray. We're going to fast. We're going to seek His face. And we're going to see people come to Jesus this year. Hallelujah. Because it will be done if the people of God will agree to call heaven in. That's been our assignment. So we don't have to wait for Christmas. Amen. To be jolly. Rejoice in the Lord. How often? And again I say, rejoice. Amen. Hallelujah. Merry Christmas.